What I'd like to do first before we have Alan Carlson start is to have another roll call of voting members and advisory members. That's Jeff.
Yes, thank you, Chief Justice. I have a complete voting member roll call to ensure quorum. I'll now take the role of advisory members to ensure that our minutes correctly reflect in light of the considerable number of members who are attending remotely, that our minutes are complete concerning participation and presence. So for the advisory member roll call, Commissioner Alexander.
Here.
Mr. Carlson.
Here.
Judge Earle. Second call, Judge Earle. Judge Hardcastle.
Here.
Judge Jacobson.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
Here.
Judge Moss. Second call, Judge Moss. Ms. Todd.
Here.
Judge Walker.
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Present.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Before we hear the presentation on item C, we have Ms. Lori Wills, Court Executive Officer, Trinity Superior Court. Welcome.
Brought my iPad. Good morning, Chief and members of the Council. My name is Lori Wills. I'm the Court Executive Officer for the Trinity Superior Court. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today regarding the proposed allocations for the Criminal Justice Realignment Program under Agenda Item C. My presiding judge, Elizabeth Johnson, submitted her written comments along with attachments. I think our document was 16 pages, and I will be referring to those momentarily. I'm also pleased to see that Judge Walton joined in and submitted their comments as well for Mariposa Court. As you are aware, Trinity is one of three courts that did not receive an initial allocation under the Criminal Justice Realignment Program. That was based on the CDCR's projections. If you will turn to the second page of our attachments, actually attachment item B, you will see that Trinity had the third highest variance in the state when comparing actual to projections at 333% for the period October through December 2011. Attachment C is a report that we received from our local probation department, and CDCR projected 12 PRICS cases in 2012, and we actually received 19 cases, of which 16 parolees were residing in Trinity County for part or all of 2012. So far in 2013, we've had two 1178 split sentences and 13 PRICS cases. Both the Revocation Subcommittee and Trial Court Advisory Committee propose recommendations that are twofold. First, we support and thank the committees for their recommendation to allocate unfunded costs to Trinity and Mariposa for 2012-13 costs, specifically for Trinity for the six petitions that were reported. Secondly, we ask you to give serious consideration to our request for an initial and ongoing allocation for 13-14 based on our prior year's actual numbers. We believe this is a reasonable, fair, and equitable request. In closing, I'd like to thank both the committees for their valuable contributions and hard work. We do respect their opinions. And the process. Speaking to you directly today is also part of the process. We are compelled to ask you to consider the facts as we know them today and request that you base your decisions on Trinity's actual reports and actual petitions filed, not the CDCR's 2010 predictions. There is a significant discrepancy between the two. For these reasons, we believe the 2013-14 allocation is warranted. Like the other 55 courts, we deserve to be funded for this mandated program so we can budget accordingly. Thank you again for your time and consideration today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Ms. Wills. And as Ms. Wills pointed out in your handouts, we do have written materials from the Honorable Elizabeth W. Johnson, Presiding Judge of Trinity Superior Court, and the Honorable F. Dana Walton, Assistant Presiding Judge of Mariposa County. Turning to item C, joining Mr. Carlson is Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich and also Mr. Chang. Welcome.
Good morning, Chief and members of the Council. Here to discuss the trial court allocations of funding for general court operations and specific costs for the 13-14 fiscal year. Just to remind you, the role of the Council has the statutory authority to allocate funds appropriated in the Budget Act from the Trial Court Trust Fund and the Improvement and Modernization Fund. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has provided recommendations, of which nearly all of them were related to base general trial court operations, and there were specific trial court fund costs that were being funded. There will be future recommendations coming to you regarding additional trial court trust fund recommendations, allocations, and IMF allocations as well. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee met earlier this month, and it was the first time, as the Chief had noted, that we had a public meeting of budgetary matters regarding the trial courts. I think it was a continuation of work that we had done last year, in which we opened the budget working group to all the members of the branch, and now it was a broadcast on the web, and there were a number of folks that were listening, and we were pleased to have a good participation there. The outcome of the meeting was that nearly all of the recommendations that are before you were approved unanimously or with only one no vote. So there was good discussion, but there was a consensus, and we thought it was a good outcome that we're bringing very strong recommendations to the Council for consideration today. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be building blocks of the way in which the allocation occurs. We have to start with sort of a foundational adjustment that we're going to do, and then based on different blocks, we're going to come to a final conclusion of what will be the allocations for the branch, for the trial courts. And so each one builds on the other, and it assumes that you make a positive recommendation and approved recommendations. So we'll go through that first step. So the first step is establishing the base allocation for the trial courts, and it does take what was the last year's allocation as approved by the Council, makes necessary technical adjustments. And the reason that we think this is important to bring it to you, because at the April meeting when we discussed the new allocation methodology, the Council approved a preliminary allocation of the $261 million of prior year cuts that had yet to be allocated. Because of adjustments since April to now, we have some minor adjustments, and so we're reflecting that and bringing that to you to establish the final base for 13-14 as our starting point for the rest of the adjustments. So I don't know if you'd like to go and vote on them, or would we go through the items and then you can make recommendations and motions on each of the recommendations.
I think it would be best use of time to go through the recommendations.
Very good.
But also I encourage Council at
Absolutely.
Any time to interrupt and ask questions.
Yeah. And Appendix A, the first attachment, does summarize all of the recommendations that have a fiscal impact for you. And then there's subsequent adjustments therein. Okay, recommendation two is necessary because we have to then take that beginning base allocation and get to a point where it's comparable to the items that were included in the Council-approved workload allocation and funding methodology. So there are some subsequent adjustments that we have to make to be able to get the base that we're talking about is an apples to apples with the methodology that was developed. And so that's what's reflected in Appendix D. It's some additional adjustments regarding, say, taking out security, because security is not calculated as part of the base adjustment.
And this is Rosenberg. By the way, as you go through this, are you going to address the issue raised by Trinity?
That they're one of the last recommendations, so yes, we will. So again, this is related to getting the allocation on a apples-to-apples basis of what was the workload, the WAFM as we're calling it, so that that can be done appropriately. At the April meeting, there was quite a bit of discussion regarding one particular aspect of the WAFM, and it had to do with the cost of labor adjustment. And at that time, one of the multiple issues that was included in our parking lot, if you recall, which were sort of unresolved issues, was this issue of how to adjust for the variances in labor costs locally. And so the funding subcommittee of the advisory committee met and discussed multiple approaches to coming up with something better. This was based on input provided by courts. We got a lot of feedback. There was a lot of back and forth with folks on what might be a better way to do this adjustment. Just to let you know, there will be future adjustments to the WAFM, but this is one in particular that we're bringing now because it is sort of fundamental to the calculation. And we have Alan Carlson here who can describe sort of the process in detail regarding how this cost of labor need was done.
Thank you. Alan Carlson, the executive officer in Orange County Superior Court. So the problems that were cited with the previous formula were that it was, in a sense, too complicated. We had troubles explaining it to ourselves, let alone everybody else on some levels. And I think it reflected that we were still learning what the BLS numbers meant and what was going on with the data, both from BLS and our own. So we went back, the group, the funding methodology subcommittee, looked at this again, and I'll describe what is now in the proposal for the WAFM formula as to the BLS numbers. So we looked at the categories that of what BLS was talking about, because there was some concern that some of the things included in there didn't make sense as comparable numbers, and we've settled on what's called Program 92, Public Administration, which is includes what courts do. Courts are actually one of the subset of that set of classifications. These are classifications that have been used for years. I think it may even go back to the 30s, last century, by the Bureau of Labor Statistics to categorize people and the jobs. And what they also do is they collect data on the salaries of people in those classifications and then report that data on a variety of things. And what we looked at was the averages for the counties on the categories of public administration. So what we got from the BLS folks is 58 numbers, basically, of the average salary for public sector classification jobs. We don't have the details of the numbers. We just have the averages for each county. So we, in a sense, created an average of averages and then looked at what each county's ratio was relative to that statewide average, so to speak. So just because I know the numbers, for example, the BLS number for Orange County is 1.3 times the average of averages for the whole state. And that's the factor we'll use, and I'll show you where in the tables this comes in. So how we applied that to the trial courts was we used the same methodology. We figured out what an average salary was for the whole state and then used that number average based on the average salary in each court. So, again, we were doing an average of averages. So it's the same way of calculating what BLS does in their system. So essentially you get an average of averages, and then you use the ratio of the BLS number times that average to figure out what the salary would be in a particular county. A couple of minor changes we also agreed to is we pulled out the CEO salary because it's higher than generally speaking, and ended up using clusters, so the four court cluster sizes we use in a lot of the WAFA model. So we would add in the cluster average for the CEO salary back into the total and then use the same BLS ratio to figure out what the salary total would be for a county. We also, because of concerns expressed by several courts, we looked at the issue of state employees versus local employees, and the BLS number we're using is local employees in a county, not state employees. And the argument was made that in some counties there are more state employees, and that drives up the salary pool because of the state salaries. So we actually collected data on the percentage of people in a county who were state employees versus local employees. And sure enough, some of the courts that had commented on it, there was a very different ratio for them. So what we settled on was if the state employee average was more than 50%, so more than half of the salaries in a county public sector were state employees versus local employees, then we averaged the local salary number and the state salary number to come up with a new ratio for those counties. And I think it only affected about 8 counties. But it did affect those counties. So we took into account that what the comparable, so to speak, salary issue is, the pool of people that you're looking at. So if you look at Appendix E, which is on page 21 of your attachments, it lays out for each county exactly what the
23,
I'm sorry. What for each court, what the local government employment numbers are, what the state government employment are, and then you go across and it figures out the percentage. So, for example, looking at Alameda County, 84% of the public employees are local, so they wouldn't hit the 50% mark. So we stayed with their local ratio, which in this case was 1.42. I think the first one on the state one would be if you go down to Amador County, there the ratio of state employees is 67%, two-thirds state employees, one-third county employees. So we used instead of the local number, the 0.97 number for the state is their ratio in calculating the salaries. So this chart, you can see what the impact is on various counties to take that factor into account. So then what you do is once you get the ratio for each county, if you now look on page 25, Appendix F, this is the WAFA model that you've seen before. The first columns figure out how many employees you have for each of the two programs, the 10 and 90. You get a total number of 733 employees in Alameda, for example. You multiply that by the base salary that's calculated for all courts, the average of averages, which was $55,992 per employee. And you get a total in column F for their unadjusted base, then you multiply it by their BLS factor, which again is 1.42 in Alameda. And column H gives you the average, the salary total for that county with the BLS factor figured in. So that's going very quickly, and I know for some of you are going, wait, slow down on doing this. But that's the process that we use, and we tried to lay it out here on these two tables as clearly as possible so people could follow how we got the number and then how we use the number to calculate their salaries. The other thing that was different before the BLS factor was applied to benefits as well as salaries, we realized that wasn't the BLS number is just salaries, so that wasn't an appropriate use of the BLS number. So this time it's just salaries. And then following that on Appendix F, the columns I and J use the actual ratios in courts for their percentage benefits and their fixed number benefits rather and not adjusted by the BLS number. So you get a better representation of what it should be and what the BLS number means and that sort of thing. So that's one of the big changes we made on this that we're recommending to as part of the recommendation here to do that. I'm happy to answer questions if folks have questions about how that worked.
I just have a question, and I'm not sure I'm even phrasing it correctly, but when you did this new amended methodology you just described, did you find it to be considerably different than the original numbers used with the BLS?
It's different, and what was made us vote this way was the people who complained were happy with these new numbers, essentially. Well, yeah, some are less happy, but on the whole, the ones that had concerns about their ratios were more content with this number than the other one. How's that?
And from a transparency perspective, it was based on data that they could easily verify. Math was fairly simple, whereas we had a fairly complicated regression, and there was aspects of it that were not very transparent. And so it met some standards that we expected, that it was had a level of transparency and simplicity that we just could not achieve with the original model. And it, yet it did address a number of concerns that were expressed by some courts that have, say, high percentages of state employees in their court, in their counties. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would dwell on the word simplicity, but you're saying that the math is easier than the prior methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Commissioner Alexander.
The data that you used, if I read the report right, for the, I'm on Appendix F, for the number of employees in the categories they're in, that was based on data that goes through 2010, 2011?
The filings data?
No, the number of employees, state
right,
versus local.
The number of employees per county and the categories that they're in?
I'm not sure what.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but and the benefits are based on 2012, 2013, so they're closer to
actual
right.
time. So,
yeah.
When does the employees get modified?
The
ones you used for 2011. When does that get up? How often is that going to be updated?
I don't know the answer. The group is talking about doing it every year. So
okay.
every year when we do the formula, which presumably will be sometime in the spring so that people will know what their budgets are,
right.
we'll go get the most recent set of numbers from BLS okay. to do things.
So if there are no further questions, recommendation three is a recommendation to approve the updated cost of labor model. And if you do that, then it flows into recommendation four, which is that you then apply it to the WAFM. And what you see in Appendix F is the resulting percentages and the dollar need for the trial courts relative to the model.
I have a question about that part, too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner Alexander.
In reading the report, it said that the legislature specifically said that we were supposed to follow the model that we did in April. Is this a change that we can do, or is this not a change that because this wasn't the model that we approved in April?
We did discuss that as a group, and our conclusion was that at the time that that the council adopted the model, it was with the assumption that there would be additional updates. So we did not say it was firm and final. And this is something that was unknown and just not discussed at the time of the April approval. So we feel that this is an expected adjustment and is an improvement to the model and would not be contrary to legislative intent. Yes. So assuming that recommendations 1 through 4 are adopted, this gets us to then the math related to recommendation 5, which is the actual application of the 90-10 split of the new model. If you recall, in April, there was an adoption of a phased approach of implementation of the WAFM in which the new methodology would be applied to 10% of the funding that was identified for the model. And then it was 15% growing to eventually 50-50 split by the fiscal year 17-18. So this then shows recommendation 5 is a calculation of the first 10% of our base resources being readjusted using the newly adopted workload allocation methodology. And what we'll note of importance is that Cluster 1 courts, which are their smallest, 15 smallest courts, given that there were some sort of anomalies in how their numbers were playing out, it was recommended then in April, and we continue that now, that they would not be included in any redistribution of funds per the WAFM for this first year, and that an evaluation of the smallest courts and their budget structures will be part of this parking lot, this reevaluation. And so, yes.
Judge Kaufman?
Obviously, that statement interests me, obviously. So just so I understand it, the Cluster 1 courts,
get no new money, but they don't get cut either.
No, this is
then,
only...
And then it will be revisited this year, and then next year there will be some adjustment.
The Cluster 1 courts do participate in the new $60 million, which we'll reference in a future recommendation. But in terms of the reallocation of the existing base money, in which some courts lose and some courts gain, there were small courts in Cluster 1 that were losing. And we felt that that was not a time, because they were fairly substantial, to do that adjustment to the small courts. We held them harmless relative to this first 90-10 rollout of the WAFM. Doesn't mean that they don't participate, because you'll see we'll get to later allocations.
Like Judge Rosenberg, the Mariposa and Trinity letter, I'd like to address it when you think it's appropriate.
Certainly, and that's related to recommendation number 10. Separate and apart from this. So this is then just the rollout consistent with the April methodology of the newest and most updated information that we have. So that's what recommendation 5 is. Recommendation 6 is allocating to all courts per the new workload model the $60 million that was included in the budget. So this is where all courts will benefit from an increased distribution of the $60 million. Then, as part of that approved methodology, was a commitment that any new money that came to the trial courts for general operations, a like amount of the base funding would also be allocated based on the WAFM. It was to get us further beyond the 50-50 split that we as a branch had adopted in April. And so recommendation 7 is then, again, this reallocation of $60 million. So there are winners and losers in this reallocation under the new model. Again, Cluster 1 courts are excluded from this adjustment because in this case they conceivably would have also, there was some of them losing money. So they are, again, held harmless in recommendation 7. So we've now had, yes?
Which appendix goes with recommendation 7?
I.
Thank you.
Was that a motion?
So just
isn't
to clarify.
Isn't that the one that has options on it?
Yeah. Judge Rosenberg?
Just to clarify, if you hold the Cluster 1 courts harmless, which I don't disagree with, the most significant negative impact from that is on Cluster 2 courts?
I don't know if I know the answer. I don't think we looked at it. Who bore the...
I mean, if you push the button in here, it pops. So the button pops out somewhere else. So where's the button pop now?
David Yamasaki?
Yeah, if I recall correctly, the dollar amount that would not be reducing the allocation of the Cluster 1 courts would be shared by all of the courts in that instance. So it's not focusing on any particular cluster of courts, but rather all.
And I think
the dollar amount was roughly...
300?
Yeah, it's in the few hundred thousand dollars and shared among...
Equally distributed.
Based on the apportionment, pro rata apportionment.
Can you explain option 3? I know you're not recommending it, but I didn't quite understand it.
Exempt Cluster 1 courts from share of reduction of the old money. This was a matter of, we were debating whether or not Cluster 1 courts should participate in any portion of the reevaluation, the base money. So if I remember this particular issue, and Stephen can help me if I recall it correctly, that they would get new money, but whether or not they would get any of the old money redistributed, it resulted in an impact to them that, again, we said they were held harmless. They were not going to be redistributed any of the base money. And so we presented as a staff, but we all concluded that that was not consistent with the actions of the council back in April.
I still don't understand it, but because I don't get the difference, I thought that would be option 1, is they get nothing.
If you look at the first column of option 3, what this one says is that they get a prorated share of the old $60 million that's now being reallocated. So they would get some advantage from the old conversion, whereas option 1, the one we're using, they don't get an advantage from the old $60 million because they're also not taking a hit on,
on the new. Okay.
On the, yeah.
And the middle one is where they would take the hit as well as get the advantage. two is where they take, get the advantage and take the hit.
So we can move on to recommendation eight. Recommendation eight relates to a requirement in the Budget Act that says that the trial courts must provide a written plan on how they will use their share of the $60 million to maintain or increase public access to justice. And so we are not, while you can allocate the funds, we are prohibited from distributing, which is a different process of actually having the state controller send money to the trial courts until this report is submitted. And so this was, again, a discussion at the just to inform and notify trial courts that there is a template that's being worked on to gather this information with Judge Earl and David Yamasaki and folks to make sure that we capture this information. But I thought it was important that this money cannot be actually distributed physically out to the trial courts until the report is submitted.
Can I ask, does that mean the distribution of the money is restricted or prohibited until all 58 submit their template, or can those who have submitted their template receive distributions?
And I believe it was by court.
Will one court hold up the distribution?
I don't think so. I think when we're looking at the language, an individual court plan, so it's by individual court if I'm reading this correctly. To an individual trial court only, so it's not the branch, but rather each court cannot get its distribution until it submits its plan, which is required to be submitted by September 1st.
So it's driven by each court. So if Court A submits the plan, they get the money. If Court B has failed to submit the plan, they need to wait.
Right.
All right, good.
And just be mindful, though, that we are talking from a positive perspective about this $60 million, but that still leaves the trial courts with allocated reductions of $415 million as of the 13-14 fiscal year. So there was a great discussion from a strategic standpoint regarding what information should be portrayed, how the story should be portrayed, because we have already discussed the allocation of the $261 million. This just reduces it. It's still an additional $201 million of reductions that are facing the trial court. So it's not somehow alleviating and mitigating fully, as the report said. It's just a drop in the bucket relative to the nearly $500 million of cuts the branch has taken over the last several years.
Commissioner Alexander.
And the distribution of the $60 million historic money doesn't depend on any report,
no.
So everybody's going to get those no matter what
yeah.
they do the report
yeah.
or not.
So the base money, the base readjustment, the 10%, the 60 million base money, yeah, that happens. It's only on the added money that's coming in the budget. So that essentially concludes the building blocks of the core allocation. Recommendations 1 through 8. Recommendation 9 relates to how this 2%, if you recall last budget act, there was a creation of a 2% reserve held in the trial court trust fund, which is basically a taking of 2% of trial court's allocations and set aside to meet unanticipated emergency needs of the trial courts. What we're recommending is that the methodology from which that is pulled back from the allocations is done in the same method that it was done last year. And remember that to the extent that those funds are not distributed to any particular court through our request process, those monies then are distributed back to the trial courts. But it causes an issue of planning because you don't know how much you'll get back. But this is a process where we have to identify early in the fiscal year the amount that is pulled out. And based on the statutory requirements, it's a $35 million. And it's held and available for distribution based on the process that the council established for urgent needs. And then come March, if it's not distributed for those purposes, it goes back out to the trial courts in the same proportionate methodology that it was taken. Any questions?
I have a question about that. Why are the numbers on that different than Appendix A?
If you look on column 7 of Appendix A, that's the same number that's in column E of the Appendix J. But
oh, okay. So this is after the 2%. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
And eight, column 8 on Appendix A is criminal AB 109 money. So that comes back in. That's not subject to the 2%. Hold that.
Thank you, Alan. So criminal justice realignment, of which is the issues with Trinity and Mariposa, there was an amount included in the budget, $9.2 million for a distribution to trial courts to address revocation workload. A realignment subcommittee headed by Judge Wesley worked on this, has been working on this issue since we started a couple of years ago. The big issue, and you've heard in the presentation, was the data. We've relied and used for the distribution for the last couple of years the projections that were done by the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, and we're well aware that there are that's not aligning with what is actually materializing out in the trial courts. So what is an important part of the work of the subcommittee is gathering data from the trial courts to better better make an alignment and an allocation of the funding. And so the actions that we have before you and the recommendation is with the assumption that the Budget Advisory Committee will return to the council to recommend an allocation of some remaining funds based on actual data that we've gathered from the trial court. So we no longer rely on the information of the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, but actual workload occurring at the trial courts. So recommendation 11, I'm sorry, recommendation 10. Oh, yes, Judge Kaufman.
Yeah. Can I ask you, I think there's two ways of handling this, in my opinion. Is one is that I know the committee is going to meet in August sometime, I think the 14th, that either in, that the Mariposa and Trinity be allowed to address the committee with their concerns and let the committee report back in the August meeting, or the other alternative is it's such a small amount of money is to give them the money now, and then when you readjust everybody in January, revisit it and do it properly. Because they do have some costs, and I think they should be compensated, or they should be reimbursed. And for whatever reason they weren't given or they didn't give the right statistics, I don't think they should be punished for that. Those are two suggestions to solve the problem for the time being. Because you're really talking about a very small amount of money. And lastly is the money you give to them does not come from any other trial court. It comes from the other fund, is that correct?
The general fund appropriation for this.
They're going to get money at some point.
Right. So just to recap, then the recommendation that came from the Budget Advisory Committee was in recognition that we are in the process of gathering data, rather than make an allocation of the total amount of funding that's available, we were going to allocate half of the funding based on the data that was in the methodology that was done previously, knowing that based on the data is collected that we would come back to the council with an updated and improved allocation methodology. And so the discussion that was had at the Budget Advisory Committee as well, we understand that this recommendation therefore does not provide resources to them at this point, be it Trinity and Mariposa, but that they would be caught up once we finalize the methodology for 13-14 coming back to the council after the first of the year. So that was just the approach. And there was this conversation about what means next, what should they do this year and why they weren't provided anything. But they thought because there is this revisit and allocations are not completed that we would catch them up.
But when would you catch them up?
Yeah, we would then revise the allocation coming back to you after the first of the year.
So that's fiscal year.
Yes, yeah.
David Yamasaki.
Thank you. Zlatko, am I to understand that even with the allocation, if it were apportioned in an equal methodology, there still would be a fund balance to address any anomalies if it's determined that the workload requires a greater allocation? So, in essence, the fund actually has the resource to provide those two courts with an
Yeah, we could do it. Certainly the council's purview to make the adjustment and to provide them resources at this point in time in the fiscal year, and then we will true up based on the data that's collected after we meet again in December and come back to the council.
Thank you.
Judge O'Malley. So for purposes of their budgeting,
which was the request, they kind of need to know so that they can budget appropriately. They can assume that they, since their statistics are correct, that they would get the amount, especially if there's a surplus, and that they can budget accordingly?
They would get some amount based on, they have data through this last fiscal year, but we would be gathering more recent data. So it'd be, you know, it would relate, they would get something, it'd be, but it'd be commensurate with the level of hearings that they would, and petitions they would
submit. That they've given us.
If you want them to be able to budget now with assurances based on what we know now, then I think you'd have to add some money into what the committee proposed now.
Exactly.
Or
that's
they can budget on the trust that
right.
fix it in January, and I, you know.
Right. They want more than the $7,776.
Right.
Right. And so they've shown us statistics that show that there's justified an additional amount. And so, again, for purposes of their budgeting, and if there's a surplus in the amount and they have the correct number of statistical data that supports and justifies the additional amount, can they go ahead and budget for what they believe to be the full additional amount to cover all the hearings that they had for that fiscal year?
But there could be an update. I mean,
yes.
That was passed. I mean, we will have some months of new data, so depending, I mean, it might be that more or less materialize, they would be adjusted. So I think what we looked at was how much they had actually gotten was what we provided them. There could be a difference this year. It could be greater or lesser. So there would be an adjustment, but they could budget on some amount.
But speaking as the administrator, I would only budget if I trusted that money would show up.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, we're doing that in most of the courts, but my money's way bigger than theirs on the margin. You know, if they want to say, hey, we want to make sure this is going to be in there now,
right?
Then we could give it to them today and say, here's the money. You can assume it's there because of your numbers and we're allocating it, but understand that in January we're going to have to recalculate everybody's. It might change in January.
And they're only asking, I believe, for half, consistent with the rest. So there'd be room. So I think that budgeting, providing them this amount, which is half, consistent with everybody else, shouldn't be an issue.
Judge Ellsworth?
So I think there is some wisdom as to waiting until the January time, just so that we aren't handling these issues kind of one at a time, piecemeal. I know that right now we have this information in front of us, and in many respects, all of us have kind of been in a trust position each and every year as we waited to see what the budget would be. If we were talking about like next year at this time, I think we'd have to step in right away. But if we are indeed looking forward, I think that January is not so far away. Just a thought. I'm not. I'm just putting it out there.
How much money are we talking about?
Like almost just $7,000, a little under $7,000.
Is that half?
Yeah, that's half.
That's a half. Oh, okay.
We're talking about $7,000.
The half. I'm okay.
$6,590, I believe, is the amount.
I'm okay with that.
I would ask that we give them the half, which is about $7,000.
Yeah.
And then we'll revisit in January and
it's
let's move on.
$6,590.
I'm with you. I would agree with that,
yeah.
Ira.
Okay.
So is there an amendment to the motion on number 10?
I'll make that amendment to pay them $7,000 and $5,000 respectively. They should not be at zero.
The full amount or the half?
The half.
For each.
Yes.
So
they
30.
Still get reimbursed for last
year. Yes, that, yes.
So let's make sure we have the numbers.
Yeah.
Let's be clear on the numbers. What are the numbers?
$6,590, I believe. $2,636 for one court and $3,954 for the other.
Say it again slowly, please.
$3,954 for Trinity and $2,636 for Mariposa.
This is Judge Elias. I have one question. What if they end up not having those hearings?
What?
Or the hearings are not
then,
the same?
Then in theory, they would have that money pulled back.
Yeah, we take it.
They're still getting the 12-13 funding. It's the 13-14 funding we're talking about.
So it'll be clear that if it doesn't happen, then the money will have to be given back. Is that correct?
Well, what would happen would be in January we would look at the actual numbers, and if that's all they had, then that's all they were getting. They wouldn't get more. We wouldn't necessarily pull it back unless the ratio had to be changed, which I don't think is going to happen. So.
What I mean is you're giving them money based upon the fact that they say that there's going to be they've actually done those hearings. But I'm saying when you do your audit or whatever you're doing, and if it's not correct, then they would actually owe money back to the pot, right?
Right.
Possibly.
So is that the plan? Is that the plan that they will be owed back?
What you're missing are nodding in agreement from Alan Carlson.
It's interesting again, you know.
But what if I'm just asking, what do we, because this will be a precedent for others. So what does happen if they get it and it turns out they got too much?
We would adjust it in January, and it potentially if they had fewer than they said, they would be over allocated. Well, we're only giving them half a year, so
I understand. But what I'm just asking, what happens? They'd be over.
Every court that's getting
it would be just, it would reduce their allocation. Yeah.
Isn't that
subject to this? Isn't that the same?
So this is Mary Beth.
Wait, Mary Beth, could you speak a little louder? We're sorry, we're having a hard time hearing.
Static on the phone line. Would it be more appropriate to just state that they will be treated the same as all courts, with the exception that we will use their 12-13 actual numbers instead of what were the projected numbers?
Correct.
Because they're projected with zero.
That's what we're doing.
And then that way they're treated like everybody else.
That's a good way to put it.
Just got the wrong stat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we're not talking millions of dollars here. We should move on.
Yeah.
So, as to number 10, I'm sorry, is there someone on the line who wishes to be heard? So, number 10 has had one amendment that had the more specific numbers for Trinity and Mariposa. There's also been a suggestion to use actual numbers from 12-13. I see.
And that's what was already done for them for 12-13 costs. When we get the data, the subcommittee will look at and come back with an allocation methodology that uses the most recent data that's available. So I don't know if we want to presuppose what the subcommittee would recommend once it sees the data and how it would want to look at recommend distributing the funds.
So what I understand you have just said, Zlatko, is really item number 10 unamended. Is that correct?
But I think that, yes.
And yes. I understand that. But I understand there's been an oral amendment and a second, although who made the amendment?
I would say
Jacobson. Is it seconded by?
Well, I think I made it, and I think.
Okay. Yeah. Judge Kaufman made it, and I would say Judge Jacobson would second it as well as Judge O'Malley. That's as amended.
To allocate almost $7,000 additional dollars.
As you've described. Correct.
Yes.
Did you want to say something, Alan, before I ask for the vote?
Chief Judge Brandlin from L.A., can I make a comment?
Please, and could you speak a little louder? We're having some difficulty. We could hear Judge Elias, but I want to make sure also we hear you, too.
The concern that I have is that if we do it now as opposed to waiting for the hard numbers, which I think we'll probably have in December or January, that we're creating somewhat of a precedent. In Los Angeles County, we did 8,000 petitions under AB 109. And the concern that I have is the numbers may not equate in January. We may end up doing a lot more petitions than we have funding for. And what's going to happen when, depending on where you are in that list, the pot runs dry? I think it's prudent to wait. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. So it appears that we have two competing. Well,
what's an emotion?
One's an amended motion. Judge Brandlin, are you making a substitute motion to go back to the original?
Well, it would seem to me that we should just deal with the amendment, and if it fails, then we are back to the original.
Okay. So all of you know the amendment, and I'll ask Judge Jarre to do a roll call vote on the amendment that would provide additional monies to Trinity and Mariposa as of the date we vote. And so, Judge Jarre, to the amended motion.
All right, roll call. Please signify your vote by saying yes or no. Justice Ashman Gerst.
I'm really having a hard time hearing because there's a lot of data. Could you state it again, please, Steve?
Has the proposed amendment been articulated?
Put your mic down.
Microphone.
Your microphone.
I beg your pardon.
I can't hear at all.
You will now.
Really can't hear at all.
So let me ask Zlatko, who has the numbers and understands the amendment to number 10, to restate it, please.
Certainly. So it would be approve recommendation number 10, amended to add $3,954 for Trinity and $2,636 for Mariposa to the recommendation.
Okay.
So back to roll call, starting Judge Jar.
All right. On the proposed amendment to recommendation number 10, signify your vote by saying yes or no. Justice Ashman Gerst.
Yes.
Judge Baker.
Yes.
Justice Baxter.
Yes.
Judge Brandlin.
No.
Ms. Davis. Second call, Ms. Davis. No response to the call. Judge D'Alba.
Yes.
Judge Elias.
Yes.
Judge Ellsworth.
Yes.
Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Judge Herman.
Yes.
Justice Hull.
Yes.
Judge Jackson.
Yes.
Judge Kaufman.
Yes.
Ms. Mathai.
Yes.
Justice Miller?
Yes.
Judge O'Malley?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Judge Rosenberg?
No.
Mm-hmm. 15 yes votes are recorded, 2 no votes. The amendment is approved.
Thank you. So, Zlatko and Alan, did you want to address number 11, and then we'll take up 1 through 9 and 11?
Absolutely. The next is a recommendation to allocate $125.2 million to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six individual items related to court-appointed dependency counsel, jury, replacement screening stations, self-help centers, elder abuse, and funding of audits done by the California State Auditor. These amounts are consistent with approaches from prior years. Let me remind you, the discussion at the time of the meeting early this month was a recognition that, say, the court-appointed dependency counsel line is insufficient, that we've had claims above this amount, and so there will be potential issues of possibly seeking additional funding for line items like this, in so much as they have been historically short, and we should be seeking additional funding. But given the resources that we do have at the moment, these are the recommendations that the Budget Advisory Committee is bringing forward to you based on the funds that are in the trial court trust fund.
Thank you. Judge Ellsworth.
I would move recommendations 1 through 9 and 11 to be approved.
Second.
Second by Justice Hull and David Yamasaki.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. By David Yamasaki. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I just wondered, we have moved and approved amending the amendment to number 10. Have we approved number 10 by that vote?
Not yet.
No. Not yet. No. Okay, so that's 1 through 9.
So the motion, I think, would be 1 through 11, including 10 as amended.
I would make that my motion. It's so nice to sit by. The motion man.
David Yamasaki, I understand, has nodded in agreement as to the second to the motion.
Thank you, sir.
Any further discussion or clarification for those on the phone? Seeing no hands raised, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Members of the council.
Thank you, Zlatko. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Stephen. I want to say that The recommendations made, the formula made, the execution of the formula in the time period that we've had under the circumstances where everyone has been working very diligently on a number of matters, I think really reflects careful, thoughtful, prudent recommendations by the committee members and the absolutely great support of the AOC, for which this could not have happened in this way. Thank you very much. I want to take an opportunity before we move to the item D, which is a non-action item, to introduce our newest member and director of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and I'll refer that honor over to Judge Jarre.
Thank you, Chief Justice. As everyone is aware, Lee, of course, our longtime director of capital programs, recently retired, and we have had the great good fortune and the wonderful serendipitous opportunity of wonderful timing to engage in his place, Bill Guerin. Bill, if I could trouble you to come forward to the podium. Bill served as, most recently, an assistant commissioner at the United States General Services Administration. For a number of years, during his long career with the GSA, had principal responsibility for the construction of all the federal courthouses in our country. And happily for us, at the very moment when Lee chose to retire, Bill was looking to return to his roots in Northern California. At that time, when we wrested him away from GSA, he was responsible for all capital construction for the General Services administration of our federal government. So, boy, were we fortunate. I know that many of you have met Bill already, but I wanted to formally introduce him to you, welcome him formally to the court family in California, and invite a few words. Bill?
Thank you, Judge Jarre, and thank you all for the opportunity to say hello. And I'm very excited about having the opportunity to work with California and the court system here. I have had a lot of experience in the national program and have found that in many ways it's very similar, and in many ways it's quite different than the way the federal government funds its program. But the courthouse challenges are very similar, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to work with all of you to get these capital program projects done.
Thank you. We're very happy you're here.
Could I'm troubled by the fact that you introduced Bill as a gentleman with such great experience, and yet he looks so young. And so it'd be useful to take a photo of him now and then compare it to the photo we take a year from now.
What are you trying to say?
Let's put Dave next to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Congratulations. Oh.
I'm only 30.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.